Welcome back to another podcast. I'm Bob Furring, and I feel very fortunate that for the third year, the golf writer for the Desert Sun, Larry Bohannon, has agreed to be my guest. And so we're going to talk about the state of golf and some other things. So Larry, welcome back.
Wow, it's my pleasure.
Thank you very much. And I understand that you are currently at the pickleball tournament that is going on in Indian Wells.
Yeah, the Margaritaville Pickleball National Championship over here at the Indian Wells Tennis Court.
Is this the first?
It's different to see these tennis courts turned into pickleball courts.
Yeah,
but it's a pretty big deal. It's a lot of people who've come from across the country to play in these championships, both singles, doubles, professional, amateur, youngsters, people into their 70s and 80s, all coming to Indian Wells to play pickleball. And actually quite a few people are showing up to watch, and certainly not the same number that you'd see here for the BNP Paribas Open in March for the tennis, but the parking lot fills up pretty good.
That's good. And surprise of surprises, there are some prominent golfers that are playing, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously, we all know about Hank Haney, the kind of the golfing teaching guru, and he's in the event. Sherry Steinhauer, LPGA player, who won the Women's British Open, as a matter of fact, has played in this, or has played pickleball now for a couple of years. She's in this field. And then I've been told, although I have no evidence of it yet, that a former Web.com player, Daniel Summerhays, is in the field as well here. So I'm going to be out looking for them today.
That's pretty neat. And so after pickleball, the next thing on your agenda is the PGA meetings, huh?
Yeah, the PGA of America's annual meetings are being held in Indian Wells, Renaissance Esmeralda, this week. And that's because Paul Levy, who is the president of the PGA, the outgoing president, is from Indian Wells. And they always like to have the outgoing president have the meetings somewhere near his hometown. And so they're in Indian Wells. They had their national awards dinner last night, Tuesday night. And then on Friday, they will be electing their new president for the next 2 years. Certainly not a surprise the way the PGA does it is you become the secretary for 2 years and the vice president for 2 years and the president for 2 years and then the president emeritus for 2 years. Mm. And the new president will be Susie Whaley, who will have the distinction of becoming the first woman to be the president of the PGA of America.
And for those who don't follow it carefully, what does the PGA of America oversee?
You know, the PGA of America basically controls, oversees, advises all the club professionals and teaching professionals throughout the country. They have 29,000 members. So when you go into your clubhouse and you see your assistant golf professionals or your head golf professionals, many GMs as well, they're all members of the PGA of America for the most part. And they do education, certification, things like that across the country. And obviously there's a hierarchy to get into national positions, president and the like. But they also control the PGA Championship, the Women's PGA Championship, and probably most importantly, the Ryder Cup.
Mm.
People get them confused with the PGA Tour. And of course, the two used to be the same thing back in the 1960s when they split. But it's not the PGA Tour, but they do have a lot to do with recreational golf as well as some of the biggest events in the world.
I see. Well, thank you for that background. I'd like to start with the state of golf. I recall reading that you're saying when you get contacted by investment bankers in New York about golf courses for sale, you wonder whether it's a golf operation or a real estate play. So how are things in general out there on the golf courses?
Well, you know, I think we all know that over the last 10, 12 years, golf has struggled and has lost participation, has lost rounds played, and has lost golf courses to the tune of maybe 15 to 1 per year, 15 closures to 1 opening. I think over the last year or so, we've seen that slow down, at least in terms of the loss of participants and the loss of rounds played. Now, that might just be because the game has hit a plateau and it couldn't keep going down at the same rate. Mm-hmm. But I think there's a lot of efforts out there to try and stem that bleeding, if you will. But I think in terms of golf courses, we're still seeing golf courses close across the country. And it's because of exactly what you said. I think a lot of people who own golf courses are recognizing that their land maybe is more valuable as a real estate or a commercial development play than as a golf course. You know, you take 150 acres that might be a golf course, and you turn that into a commercial business park, and you're going to make more money off the commercial business park. Mm. So you're still going to see golf courses closing over the next 5, 6 years, 7 years, maybe even one or two here in the Coachella Valley. Mm-hmm. But I think in terms of participation, we're starting to see at least a leveling off of the steep drops that we've seen over the last decade and a half.
I see. Are there any courses under construction, or are they contemplating building any new courses out here?
Right now in the desert, no. You know, we haven't had an 18-hole golf course built in the desert since 2008. So it's been 10 years since Eagle Falls over at Fantasy Springs Resort opened up. There have been a few little openings here and there. Toscana Country Club in Indian Wells, which was originally planned for 36 holes but had only built 27, actually built the back nine on their south course. And so they have 36 holes now. That opened about 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And then the Shadow Hills Golf Club added nine holes to their nine-hole par three golf course, so they now have 18. But in terms of new construction right now, there's nothing out there on the horizon in the desert.
I see. Okay.
You got to remember, a lot of those golf courses are real estate plays, you know, that's something to build homes around.
Yeah.
And that's not happening much either right now in the desert.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, things change. So speaking of changes, this is going to be the last year of the Career Builder as a title sponsor. Is that correct?
Well, actually, Career Builder is going to fund the tournament in January of 2019, but they have already taken their name off of the tournament. They were contractually obligated to provide the funds because they didn't bail out of the tournament at the proper time. So they are going to fund the tournament. It's going to be a fully funded golf tournament with a $5.9 million purse and you know, charity money for Desert Classic Charities. Mm-hmm. But Career Builder's name will not be on the tournament. The 2019 event will be called the Desert Classic, which is, if you've been around the desert long enough, you may remember the Bob Hope Desert Classic.
Right.
Was the name of the tournament forever, from the 1960s into the end of the 2000s. But it'll now be the Desert Classic. Bob's name will still not be on the tournament. And now the tournament is looking for a new sponsor for 2020 and beyond. They would love to get a new sponsor in with maybe a 5 to 8 year contract to sponsor this tournament for years to come.
Mm-hmm. You know, my recollection is that the Bob Hope Desert Classic was a really big deal, and it's probably the most fun pro-am of any tournament in the country. And all of a sudden, this tournament in Dubai started taking away all the top names. There had to be a lot of politics there. What happened?
Well, a lot of things happened. You know, in the 1960s, and into the 70s and even the early 80s. The Bob Hope Desert Classic was one of the biggest tournaments on the PGA Tour, along with the Bing Crosby up at Pebble Beach. Celebrity golf was very big, so the pro-ams for both of those tournaments were very big. But somewhere along the line, corporate America got involved. And, you know, you remember the Los Angeles Open became the Nissan Open. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Danny Thomas tournament in Memphis was suddenly the FedEx. And what the PGA realized was they were getting more money and to promote these tournaments, to pay their players from corporate America. And while the celebrities were nice to have, they weren't actually bringing money to the tournament. So, you know, back in the 60s and 70s, if you were watching PGA Tour golf, it was Bob Hope and there was Bing Crosby, but there was Andy Williams and there was Dean Martin and there was Danny Thomas and there was Sammy Davis. All these guys, Jackie Gleason, had these tournaments, and they've all become corporate events. And of course, once a corporation gets involved, well, you know, their marketing strategies and advertising strategies can change over the years. And suddenly they don't necessarily want a golf tournament anymore at times. So you see these sponsorships change quite a bit. The European event, which is in Abu Dhabi, they got a lot of money in the Middle East, and they decided that they were going to, you know, basically pay these players to come and play in Abu Dhabi. Appearance money is still allowed on the European Tour. It's not allowed on the PGA Tour, although there's certainly ways to get around that. It's not as blatant as what they do in some of those events in the Middle East and on the continent on the European Tour as well. And so they just take a lot of great players and keep them in Europe on the European Tour for a few weeks, and they don't come here necessarily for the Bob Hope Classic, which then became the Humana, which then became the Career Builder. But they also don't necessarily come for San Diego or for the Los Angeles tournament, which is now the Genesis Open. So it's a combination of things that has kind of hurt the West Coast swing of the PGA Tour. Mm-hmm. But and it also doesn't help that a lot of the best players in the game these days are from Europe.
Yeah.
And want to support the European Tour in some way. And it's easier for them to do it in January and February than it is in March when they come to the United States to get ready for the Masters and the rest of the summer.
Yeah. It's ironic that as much as the men's tournament here has struggled, the ladies' tournament continues to be one of the top spots, top destinations of the year. Do they just have more stability there?
Well, you know, they switched over a few years ago, 4 years ago, to ANA as a sponsor, All Nippon Airways. Nabisco and then Kraft Nabisco had that tournament for a long time. And Kraft walked away. And, you know, if they hadn't found ANA when they did to become a title sponsor, the tournament would have been in serious trouble. A tournament, it's very hard for a tournament to go even 1 year without a title sponsor, much less two. But this tournament here at Mission Hills Country Club in Rancho Mirage has such great history on the LPGA, dating back to its debut in 1972. And, of course, having Dinah Shore as the sponsor or the hostess for so long. Colgate was the original sponsor for 10 years. Then Nabisco came in. All the great players on the LPGA have either won this tournament or wanted to win it. And, of course, we know about the tradition of leaping into Poppy's Pond for the winner. Mm-hmm. You know, those are things that the LPGA just can't afford to turn its back on. LPGA runs kind of short on history and tradition throughout its schedule. This tournament has as much of it, maybe, as the rest of the tours combined. So they had to protect this tournament, and they're fortunate they found ANA. And ANA really likes the tournament because it's given them an identity in the United States. In fact, they even signed a 3-year extension to their deal last year.
Oh, that's cool.
which will take it through 2021. So there is a great stability at that tournament.
Okay, well, that's good. So finally, tell us about the local golfers, the Coachella Valley products that we're likely to see on the tour so that we can root for them.
Well, you know, right now there's a couple who are maybe not quite ready to go out on the PGA Tour, but they are freshmen in Division I colleges. There's a kid who played at Palm Desert High School last year named Ray Navis, who just came to Palm Desert last year. And he is now at Loyola Marymount and has even posted a top 10 finish in a tournament this year, a big tournament over in Hawaii, as a freshman. And I think Ray is a kid that we need to keep an eye on for maybe not a couple of years from now, but maybe 3 years from now, you might see him on the PGA Tour. The same is true for another Palm Desert kid named Charlie Ryder. Now, if you've been around the desert, you might remember Charlie played in the Career Builder last year on a sponsor exemption, played two really good rounds, and then in the third round kind of struggled and shot 77 and ended up missing the cut. But he impressed everybody with his ability to outdrive the guys on the PGA Tour. He hits at 350, 355. And he doesn't look like a football player. He's a kind of tall, a bit skinnier kid, but he really generates tremendous power with his swing. And the week of the Career Builder last January, his father, unfortunately, was in the hospital. And so he had all kinds of distractions going on. His first PGA Tour event in his hometown, all of his friends from high school and around were following him. And the one man who had been with him the entire time of his golfing career, his dad, suddenly wasn't there because he was in the hospital and eventually had surgery for an aneurysm in his brain. And unfortunately is healthy now, but it was a remarkable performance by Charlie last year. And I think a couple of years from now, maybe a little sooner than Ray, you might see Charlie take a run at a professional career as well.
Do you think that we're likely to see these guys play in the tournament in January?
I think there's still a chance that Charlie will play. I know they're looking at him as a possibility. He has, as a freshman, already a sixth-place finish in a Division I title tournament. They don't play a lot of college golf in the fall. Most of college golf starts after January 1. But he's already impressed at USC. And I think there's still a chance. I know he's going to play in the Australian Open again around Thanksgiving, which he did last year, and he made the cut in that tournament. And I know he's going back this month, and I think there's a very good chance that you'll see him at least invited again to play in the Career Builder, or, excuse me, the Desert Classic.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'll let you go cover pickleball. Thank you very much for telling us about the state of golf here in the Coachella Valley, and thank you for your time.
Anytime.
Okay, and for my audience, if you enjoyed this, please tell someone else, and until next time, bye-bye.